We're going to look quickly at the subject on qualifications for divine wisdom. Qualifications for divine wisdom. We're looking at those factors, that is, understanding the factors that facilitate access to divine wisdom. Those factors that facilitate access to divine wisdom. That is what we'd like to understand tonight. It has been made very abundantly clear throughout this month that wisdom, divine wisdom, is very critical for successful life and destiny. For one to live successfully, profitably, meaningfully. He said wisdom is profitable to direct. The question is, what are those factors that can undergird our quest for wisdom? The factors that makes the spiritual ground fertile for access to wisdom. There are things we have seen before, but we like to look at them in detail. And tonight we may just look at three factors. And number one is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. In Job chapter 28 and in verse 28, the Bible said, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord equals wisdom. We're going to see tonight how the fear of the Lord equals wisdom. Psalm 111 verse 10. 111 verse 10, the same thing. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Nobody starts in the school of wisdom until they are qualified with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the entrance examination into the world of wisdom, into the school of wisdom. Is the entrance, is the qualifier into the school of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. Literally, all speaking the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Psalm 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord, again, is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, in Proverbs 15:33, it talks about the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The man, the woman who fears the Lord has settled for instructions in wisdom. The person who does not fear the Lord cannot gain instructions in wisdom. And finally, you see the connection between the spirit of wisdom and the fear of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That spirit of the Lord is the same as the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Somebody say a loud amen. And so in that last part we see that the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, they go together. Show me a man who has the spirit of the fear of the Lord. He will not need to beg for the spirit of wisdom separate. They are together. Now, what is the fear of the Lord about? And how does it enhance wisdom? Two things I will say tonight. The fear of the Lord equals the possession of a healthy, lively conscience. Is the possession of conscience that is alive. Conscience that is healthy. When you say this man fears God, it means he has a conscience that is alive. He has a conscience that is healthy. Because it is possible to come to church and not have a conscience that is healthy or alive. It is possible even to be a pastor and not have a conscience that is alive. In the book of Acts chapter 24 verse 16, Paul the apostle said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards man." A conscience that is alive. A conscience that is awake, that is not asleep, that is not mortuary bound. A conscience that is not deadened, that is not seared with a hot iron. Am I communicating? A conscience that does the wrong thing and is aware that he has done wrong. The easiest way to kill a conscience is to do the wrong things repeatedly, excuse it repeatedly, until the time comes when the conscience does not bother you anymore. The point where killers are, the point where addicts are, the point where the prostitute or the manstitute is. I don't know. I'm sorry. Because the prostitute must have a patronizer. Someone patronizes. Because they always talk of prostitute. What of the man who patronizes? There will be no prostitution trade if there is no patronage. If there is no patronage, there will be no trade. Hallelujah. Now, when the conscience is healthy, it is proof of a spirit that is healthy. A healthy spirit is the custodian of a healthy conscience. When we were dead in sin, we had no conscience. As we were dead, our conscience was dead. But when we come to God and our spirits come alive, our consciences also come alive. Why is this important? It is important because the wisdom of God is principally communicated into the spirit of man. Into the spirit of man. The spirit of man that is awake. The spirit of man that is alive and healthy. Job chapter 32 verse 8. Job 32 8 said, he said, "There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding or wisdom." Give them understanding. Give them insight. Give them wisdom. There is a spirit in man. Now, when that spirit in man is not awake, he can receive no communication of wisdom. When that spirit in man is not alive, when that spirit in man is not healthy, it is like when you want to feed a child that is very, very sick and is nauseous, anorexic. He's not eating and he's vomiting. No matter how good the food is, he cannot eat it. He doesn't want to taste it. Why? Because the spirit is sick. The spirit is not healthy. The spirit is not fully awake. That's how it happens. When the spirit of man is sick, when the spirit of man is dead, when the spirit of man is not alive or healthy, it becomes impossible to receive the communications of wisdom, the communications of insight, that is coming from heaven. Am I communicating at all? That's why the Bible said, "Deep calleth unto the deep." Psalm 42 and in verse 7, "At the sound of thy water spouts." That is why a real unbeliever can never receive the communication of the wisdom of God. It's important if you are looking for the wisdom of God to keep your conscience alive. Keep it awake. Keep it healthy. Keep your spirit alive. Keep it awake. Keep it healthy. Make no excuse for wrongdoings. Liberally ask for mercy where necessary. Ensure that the conscience remains tender. And once that is in place, the spirit of wisdom can access that spirit. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. The fear of the Lord equals the possession of a healthy, lively conscience, and the wisdom of God is communicated through the spirit of man. Number two, the fear of the Lord equals the hatred of evil. It's the hatred of evil. When a man fears God, he just hates evil. He hates it. How many of you have ever been in a vehicle before when the driver or somebody is being forced to give bribe at a roadblock? Have you been in such a place before where you just squeeze money into whoever is at the roadblock and is going? You know, one of the things that happen to any genuine child of God, when you see such an operation, you may not be able to stop it, but you hate it with a passion. That is something in you. Anywhere you see or hear about such a thing, when it appears normal to you, when such operation appears normal, when you hear that a girl was failed in school because she refused to compromise with a lecturer or any of those kind of things, and your heart remains normal, there is something wrong regarding the fear of God in your life. That is, You may not be in the position to stop that which is wrong, but you hate it with a passion. In the book of Proverbs 8 and in verse 13, the Bible said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then see what the Spirit of God is saying. Pride, arrogance, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That is, God is saying, if you fear me, hate the things that I hate. Let me warn. See, hate evil, because me, I hate pride. I hate arrogance. I hate the evil way. If you fear me, you will hate the things I hate. You will love the things I love. Let me love what you love, oh my dear Lord. Let me want what you love, oh dear Lord. That is how you designed life to be loved. Help me, Lord, to live how I ought to live. Verse 2. Let my life bring you joy and not pain, Lord. Let me live in your plan for my life. That is living life at its very best, Lord. That is living to glorify your name, Lord. Set me free from myself, oh my dear Lord. From the ways of the flesh, set me free. So I can avoid the ways of regrets, Lord. So my life can bring pleasure to you, Lord. Oh, Lord, take me to that place where I have no will that is separate from your will. Oh, Lord, take me to that place where I have no choice that is separate from your choice. To be lost in you is my desire. To be all for you is all I want. Oh Lord, take me to that place where I have no will that is separate from your will.
Oh Lord, take me to that place where I have no choice, that is separate from your choice, to be lost in you. It's my desire to be all for you. Is all I want.
The Bible says, two cannot, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It says, if you hate the things that I hate, that means come, let's walk together. And God is the all wise God, the only wise God. You cannot be the child and walk with the all-wise God and be the only foolish child. No. And so, this is how the fear of God brings you into alignment with God, who is the custodian of wisdom. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. Proverbs 13 and in verse 20. And God is the all-wise God. To hate evil makes you to be able to walk with the all-wise God, the only wise God. And he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. Straight line equation. If I have the fear of the Lord, I have a conscience that is alive, a spirit that is alive, that receives the transmission of God's wisdom. If I walk in the fear of the Lord, I am hating what God hates. That brings me into alignment with God. I'm walking with him. And to walk with the wise is to be wise. That's the first. The fear of the Lord is our first condition for accessing the wisdom of God. And you just heard the mechanism by which the fear of the Lord makes you to access the wisdom of God. Number two is the life of humility. The conditioning that must be on ground in order for wisdom to be transmitted is the life of humility. When you look at Solomon and his, how he got the wisdom that he got, humility was at the background of it. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 7. Solomon began to speak to God and he said, and now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. That is the definition of humility. The absence of an exaggerated estimation of oneself. When you have an estimation of yourself that is not exaggerated. When you have an estimation of yourself that is in accordance with God's purpose. I am a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. In James chapter 1 verse 5, coming to ask for wisdom, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Humility is the acceptance of your disqualification, the acceptance of your non-qualification, the acceptance of your ignorance, the acceptance, Lord, I am not qualified enough. I am not where I should be. I am not who I'm meant to be. People may think I am something, but I have not reached where I should reach. Three things that makes humility very, very essential to wisdom. Number one, the absence of humility brings disconnection and resistance from God. When humility is absent, there is a disconnection from God, as well as resistance from God. what made Lucifer to leave the presence of God in heaven, among other things, was pride. In James chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible said, God, wherefore he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So there is a resistance, a disconnection from God, and a resistance from God where there is no humility. Where there is pride, it is not possible to be in the vicinity of God. If you are not in the vicinity of the river, what are you talking about swimming in the river? If you are not in the vicinity, you are not in the vicinity of the river. What gives you access to talk about swimming in the river? If you are not in the vicinity of God, what makes it possible to access anything that only God can give? It's a disconnection. People who are zero of humility are actually empty of God. I'll come to that at the final point. So, the absence of humility brings a disconnection and resistance from God. And with a disconnection from God and a resistance from God, it is impossible to access that which only God gives. Secondly, the presence of humility gives access to grace. There is an equation here. In case you are looking for grace, possess humility. He giveth grace to the humble. The humble don't need to beg for grace. He giveth grace to the humble. The humble does not need to beg for grace. God gives grace to the humble. Somebody say a loud amen. Are you looking for grace, any type of grace? Your doorway inside grace is humility. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I access grace. Father, I access grace. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. What is grace all about? Grace is what redemption brings. Grace is called God's riches at Christ's expense. G, God, riches. A, at Christ's expense. That is, whatever God has to offer man through Christ's death is called grace. Am I communicating? Is anybody following me now? So if I have humility, I will have grace. And if I have grace, I will be able to have anything that Christ died to offer. That's a big check. Is that a big check? If I have humility, I will have grace. And if I have grace, I will have access to anything that the death of Christ brings. In John chapter 1 verse 17, it said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. So Jesus came to give us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Anything Jesus brought, anything the death of Christ brought is contained in grace. And anything grace carry, I can access by humility. Ay, 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 ay. Is God speaking to somebody at all? So you don't need to beg now. So now, the principal thing that Christ came, that his grace came to give us, is salvation. Rescue from sin. Rescue from eternal damnation. But there are things, the Bible says, there are things that accompany salvation. That Hebrews talked about, things that accompany salvation. You look at that in Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 12.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, whose death brought me power and riches. And the wisdom we are talking about, this wisdom we are talking about, if I am humble, I connect grace. If I connect grace, I connect wisdom. Now I connect power, I connect riches, I connect wisdom, I connect strength, I connect honor, I connect glory, I connect the blessing. So can you see what arrogant people are depriving themselves of? They are depriving themselves, put it on the screen. They are depriving themselves of power, of riches, of wisdom, of strength, of honor, of glory, of blessing. Because they can't be connected to grace. And since they are not connected, because they are not humble. And since they are not humble, they cannot connect grace. And since they cannot connect grace, they cannot connect all of this. Is God speaking to somebody here? Look at your neighbor, say, calm down. Say, calm. Say, calm. Calm. All the way down. We have a lot of people who are raising shoulder for nothing. Proud over what? What do you have that you have not received? And if you have received it, why are you behaving like you haven't received it? Proud of our word. Hallelujah. So this is how humility is giving me access to wisdom. Humility connects me with grace, which is whatever Jesus died to bring. And grace connects me. The death of Jesus, the riches of Christ connects me with wisdom, connects me with power. Very, very important. And finally, God increases. We're looking at the connection between the humility and wisdom. Finally, God increases in the lives of those who decrease in themselves. God increases in the lives of those who decrease in themselves. In John chapter 3 and in verse 30, he must increase, but with a condition, I must decrease. If God and everything God carries must increase in me, the condition is that I must decrease in myself. He increases in the lives. The increase of God means the increase of love, because God is love. The increase of God in me is the increase in wisdom, because He is the all-wise God, the only wise God. The increase of God in me is the increase of power, because He is the almighty God. If I ever want God and everything He carries to increase in me, I must decrease in myself. This is very, very key. I must decrease in myself. In this regard, beloved brothers and sisters, don't let anybody clap you prematurely into obscurity. Don't let any achievement take your shoulder up and make you become like Nebuchadnezzar, who says, "Sweet this kingdom that I build by my might and my power," until God sent him to the bush. Don't look down on people on account of anything you possess, because God will judge it as pride on your part. Hallelujah. What have you that you have not received? And if you have received it, why do you behave like you haven't received? This is how humility connects us with wisdom. I pray tonight that there will be the fresh release of the spirit of wisdom upon everyone here today. In the name of Jesus Christ. The fresh release of the spirit of wisdom. 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 And you know that Lucifer was a commander in charge in heaven. And all that power and glory was stripped. I don't believe that God made any devil with horns. But where did they get the horns from? Where did they get their evil look from? They got all of that as they disconnected from God. Disconnection from God brings degeneration to life. They began to degenerate until they began to look the way. Your life will never be like that in the name of Jesus Christ. So the condition for wisdom, number one, was the fear of the Lord, and we saw the pathway. Number two is a life of humility. And number three is the heart of meekness. What is the difference? We'll look at this shortly. Psalm 25 verse 9. And 12 and 14. He said, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. He said, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Verse 14 said, his soul shall dwell at ease. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them. Now, when we talk about wisdom, we also talk about the possession of secrets. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The meek will he teach. The meek will he guide. Hallelujah. When you look at Moses, that's my degree. Excited people. Give the Lord a praise for my degree and thank the Lord for them. The pastor told us that the materials and supplies that we took there, the distribution continued 2-3 days later. They just continued distributing. And with attendant ecstasy in the land. Give the Lord a big clap again that normalcy is restoring gradually to the place, despite the ravaging. 70% of the land, according to what we heard, were ravaged. They are very happy. All right. Clapping. God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the book of Numbers chapter 12 verse 3, the Bible is speaking about Moses, one of the wisest men in the Old Testament. Now the man Moses was very meek. If you remember that Moses was the one who laid hands on Joshua and released upon him the spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy 34, I believe in verse 7. And Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. Where did Moses get this wisdom from? The man Moses was meek above all the men that were on the face of the earth. Now, I just told you about humility, just knowing your level and just the refusal to overestimate and exaggerate your own importance. Now, what is meekness? There are four things that meekness will have to do with for tonight. Number one, meekness equals openness to learning. Meekness has to do with teachability, being teachable, openness to learning. In Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 5, Bible said, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. It is openness to learning. There are people who are closed to learning. The mind is closed. They don't think anybody can teach them.
They are not open to anything. Beloved brothers and sisters, if you are going to be a wise person, everything must teach you. Everything. Not everybody. Everything. You would have something to learn. The Bible says concerning Solomon, he said, I went to the field of the man that was void of understanding. As I observed, I was instructed. The Bible said he spake of trees. Solomon spake of trees from the hyssop that springeth out of the wall, all the way to the cedar tree. Solomon said, go to the ant. I went by the field of the slothful. I was instructed. Solomon said, go to the ants and learn. That will be Proverbs chapter 6. They have no guide, no leader, no overseer. So this man, everything was teaching him, including the ant. If the ant can teach person, how much more your own child? So there are people, they are closed. Mind is closed. Spirit is closed. They don't think anybody and anything can teach them. I've heard people boasted, there are only two or three people I can sit under that can teach me. Teachers of the world who really can teach. Only two or three that can say something and I can learn something. You know, many years ago I was going to a church. Where the good man, good pastor, climate was a climate of worship. Powerful. Except that he didn't have so much insight in the word. What I did was that while this teaching was going on, from the same passage the man is teaching, I begin to receive light. I will be writing from one or two things he said, and then the other things that he hasn't said, but that same passage said it. And I will step out of the service loaded. Because I made up my mind that I will receive instruction. Meekness is openness to learning. Number two, meekness equals eagerness to learn. Not only open, but eager. It is a situation where you know that there are things you don't yet know. Eagerness. In Hosea chapter 6 verse 3, it said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Then shall we know. There is such an eagerness. Number three, meekness equals willingness to change. Willingness to change action. Willingness to change course of action. Willingness to change direction, if need be. Willingness to change direction. Willingness to change course of action. Where necessary. When God told Moses, pull your shoes. For where thou standest is holy ground. The meaning of that is, the next time you wear the shoe, I'm the one to tell you where to go. I'm the one to determine your direction. I am the one to determine your movement. There are people whose minds are so made up that nothing can change them when they have made up their mind. Papa, you hear it? You see, when you see people and you see them very, very bold and very audacious, until you go close to them, you don't really know them. He said to the church one day, he said, everything you see in this church that is good, God did it. Anything you see that is not good, I did it. Anything you see that you are not happy about, the young man will be 70 years next week. Next week, Friday. Hallelujah.
I did it. Hallelujah. They went to Ghana and planted church in Kumasi. Long time. And then later on they went to Accra and planted church. The church in Accra is growing. The church in Kumasi was not growing. Lord, what is happening? He said, the Kumasi church, you are the one who sent yourself. You went before I asked you to do church planting. He said, because there were a lot of Ghanaians in the church. So they said, oh, why don't we take church to our country? Why don't we plant church in our place? So he followed their leading. And the church was struggling. I believe that at a point he had to go and close down the church. And then came in afresh when God gave him the mission to go into Africa. And then when that mission came, boom, the whole church exploded. In a short time, hundreds of churches in one country alone. After so much money had been spent in a construction site in Kaduna, after they left the grass cathedral in Angwarimi and they are trying to look for a location, they got a big land and then built, spent money, over 100 pillars in the ground. So one day he went there and God said, this place that you are, I didn't send you. What? He said, carry everything and live here now. He did a U-turn. The people say, what shall we do? He said, I don't know. God said we should live there. He left there before they went to the Garden of Faith, the current Garden of Faith in Baranawa. They got that almost cheaply. Later on, God told him, he said, you know that first place you went? If you had gone there, that would have been the end of your ministry. That is, the ministry would have ended in that location. That is, you are in a location that has no divine connection. Location without a location. That is, you ushered your way out of God's presence. The church was 3,000. He went to Japan, he was preaching. While he was preaching, the anointing was so heavy that the interpreter was crying while preaching. Interpreter was crying while preaching. He saw that as a leading to start a walk in Japan. And as he was contemplating starting, the Lord said to him, they already got in a building, got in structure. The Lord said to him, even though there is a need here, you are not the one I'm sending to handle that this need. Say, really? Right about turn. Return back home. Forgot the building already rented. One day he heard a voice that was not the voice of God. When the church in town, the place they were before Canaan land, there were about 3,000 members, 3,000 something. Big church at that time. The voice came and said, your world is waiting for you. Your generation is waiting for you. Stagnant water stinks. The voice was so powerful. Summary, move now and begin to go everywhere around the world. He went to God to receive instruction of how to go about it. The Lord said, I was not the one you heard. What? You were not the one? Who did I hear? You heard the voice of the enemy, not my voice. So what would you want me to do? As for you, you will sit down here. He sat down, the church grew from 3,000 to 10,000 within 1 year. He shifted from there to another 15,000. Before you can say praise the Lord, at that venue they already counted 50,000 before moving to Canaan land. That is, When you, and I'll come to that shortly, the willingness to change direction, no matter how big you think you are, to change course. We went and planted church in Nyanya. That was our first church planting. After about 6 weeks, God told me, I did not send you there. I sent to the pastor. I said, God said he didn't send us there. He said, what should I do? I said, come back. Now, you know what it means? You are, pastor, you are in the headquarters leading prayer, doing opening prayer, taking testimony. You have been posted to be a guest somewhere. You were a member of that church, that Nyanya church. And I now say, return back to the base. You didn't find it funny. You say, what should I do? I say, come back. What are the equipments? I say, look for a nearby church there. Give all of it to them. Yes. What are the chairs? Dash it to any other location, any other church there. What are the members, those who cannot come and follow us? And I say, they should find nearby churches there. Under 6 weeks, he returned back. And we waited until God said, now it is time, move. And then when we went to the plantings, eruption. The Maraba church now, the central church of Maraba, they may show it to us. It has Maraba 1, Maraba 2, Maraba 3, Maraba 4. The, and then the Maraba 1 also has their own Marabites. Marablets. And then the Maraba Central itself gave birth to Masaka, Kabai. Now Masaka 1, Masaka 2, Masaka 3, Kabai 1, Kabai 2, Kabai 3. From that location alone now, there may be up to 100 churches or more in that axis. When God says go, it is time. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the major. People, Papoyedepa was prayed for to step out by Pastor Adeboye. And everybody concluded, including himself, they were releasing him to go and start ministry in Jos. That was in that 1983 commissioning. He's going to Jos. They have all, everybody here, they have all prayed. Jos was already prepared. Staff already gone ahead. Location has already been found. He went to God to say, thank you, Lord, for this commissioning and because of the start of the ministry. And the Lord said, you are going to know Jos. He said, what? Is it not just that I have the leading to go? He said, no. What you call leading to go to Jos was not from me. He said, you remember one time in 1974, you were in Jos, you were playing table tennis. In your heart, you wish that in future, if there is an opportunity of where to live, Jos is where you would like to live. He said, that is the vision you had. You know what he said? He said, how do I come and tell the people who witnessed the commissioning service that I missed it? How do I come and tell the people now that, and I have told them already that God is leading me to Jos. God has sent me to Jos. And now I have to come back. He had to come back and tell everybody. God said I missed it. God said it was not in my head that we should remain in Ilorin here. Ilorin. Yes, sir. You see the secret of people? There are people who would rather die in that Jos than to agree that they missed it. Than to agree. The pride and the arrogance will not allow them to agree that I missed it. I missed God. And see, we see the glory of it today.
Finally, meekness is willingness to change direction, change course of action, and then yieldedness to correction. Here am I. I am yielded to your correction. Yieldedness to correction. Lord, I don't claim to be an expert in this matter. When God was talking to Samuel, when he said, surely this is the Lord's anointing, he said, no, you missed it. Sorry, Lord. Eliab, you still missed it. Shammah, you still missed it. Look at the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16 from verse 1 all the way to verse 13. This is that meekness that makes people access the wisdom of God. This is that meekness that makes people to take the steps that must be taken. This is what makes God comfortable to talk to you and to show you his mind, because he knows he's not wasting his time. He knows you won't argue it. He knows you won't die with your position rather than change position. When God confirms that this is possible, then you can easily become a candidate for the wisdom of God. In conclusion, 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 4. This is what happens. 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 4. And when thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door, talking to the prophet's widow, upon thee and upon thy sons. And you shall pour out into all those vessels, and you shall set aside that which is full. Anybody who is full of his own knowledge and his own wisdom and full of himself is easily set aside by God. God deals with empty, not full. Gather empty vessels, not a few. Even if you think you are full, empty yourself before God. And let him know, Lord, I don't know as I should. I am still in need. In the wedding in Cana of Galilee, he said, go for empty vessels, empty, completely empty, pots that are empty. Fill them with water. The earth was without form and void, means the earth was empty, shapeless. That was when God could move. You want God to move in your life. You want God to pour wisdom, pour instruction, pour direction into your life. Empty yourself. Don't even pretend that you know. Have you ever talked to some people before? Before you can drop one word, they drop three. The Bible says in John, so I was reading the Bible the other day and I got a light in John chapter 3 verse 16 where he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is, I know the passage you are talking about. When you say half, they finish it for you. Before you can talk, they keep on talking. And that blocks the flow. Just blocks your own flow. I had a guy in the university like that. It is impossible for you and him to talk, and he does not dominate the talk. You might start off with him, but at the end of the day, he would have 90% of the conversation. Even if you are the one who had it in mind to talk to him, it's like verbal diarrhea. It moves at the frequency of the flow of a pipe. Unfortunately, that guy's life today is nothing to write home about. Today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even, see, God gave us one mouth and two ears. So hearing should be more than talking. That's you listening, if possible, twice than you talk. If he has given us three mouths, can you picture it? It's ugly to start with. And one ear. Then you are permitted to talk more.
Do you understand? So it's important that we bring ourselves, even if it's a child talking, listen first, let them land. I've learned from my children, I've taken notes while they were talking. I had to run to my room one day when one of my children was talking. I ran to the room, brought my notes to jot down the wisdom that came out of the mouth of the child. And when I asked later, she didn't even know what she was saying. But it was a wisdom. It was a light. It was an insight. Somebody say amen. That insight gave me an idea of what happened to the man that Jesus blocked his eye with mud and asked him to go to the pool of Siloam to wash. Man is blind. You blinded him further. And then you are asking to go to the pool to wash. If he can go and wash in the pool by himself, would he come to you to ask for prayer? The light that that little child told said that day gave me insight to that mystery. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Have you made any mistakes? Have you taken steps that you were not meant to take? Ask the Lord. Lord, I recognize I took the wrong steps. And I am sorry. I'm ready to make a U-turn. I'm ready to change the course of action. I cannot die in the wrong direction. I am open to your counsel. I am open to your wisdom. Are you in the wrong relationship? Some will say, supposing, what will people say? The last relationship did not work. The other one didn't work. And then this one will not work again. Let me just manage this one and let's marry. Marriage, manage to marry. Manage. Not so. Not so. When was the last time you came to Zaria and you are trying to travel to Maiduguri? Instead of going through the road to Kano, then you took the road to Sokoto. And you kept on going until you come to Guso. And you still kept on going until you went to Talata Mafara. Going closer and closer to Sokoto until you realize that this is road to Sokoto. And they said, you have missed the road. You say, let me just reach. Is that how you do it? Reach to go and do what? To go and see who? You make a U-turn. Even if you have to sleep many times on the road to reach where you were originally going. That is how life is wired to be. You don't die headed for the wrong direction. You make a U-turn. And once God knows that you are such a person, and you won't be ashamed to admit that you did wrong or that you took the wrong step, then God will lead you. Stand up on your feet. I am so happy that all locations are connected today. I'm so happy about this because there is a limit to which this can be transcommunicated. Hallelujah. Can we all stand up on our feet everywhere we are? Lift up your hands. And we have three things, 3 points tonight. A fresh baptism of the fear of the Lord with the clarity of conscience. An impartation of the spirit of humility. And then the heart of meekness. Lord help me. Lord help me. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. And go ahead and speak to God. Go ahead and speak to God. Go ahead and speak to God. Honor him, adore him, worship him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Blessed be your name. Ancient of days. Lily of the valley. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Lehosada Gayatani Zagorata Salala. We give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and lift your voice. And we're going to speak to God right now. You are going to say one word to God. We're going to pray three prayers, but starting with this one, and you're going to ask for the baptism of the fear of the Lord. A fresh baptism of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Lift your voice and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
All right. We're going to take the three prayers together. We're going to take the three prayers together, the 3 points together. And we can use 5 minutes to communicate all, to take all of them. Lift your voice and say, Father, tonight I ask for the baptism of the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Help me, Lord, to exist with a conscience that is alive, a conscience that is healthy, a conscience that can receive directions and transmissions from you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask for the baptism of the Spirit of humility. Humility. Deliver me, Lord, from the spirit of pride and arrogance in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for the impartation of the heart of meekness in the name of Jesus. The eagerness to learn, the willingness to learn, openness to learn, willingness to change action, yieldedness to correction at all times, in order to connect with your wisdom for my life. I receive this grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go on ahead and speak to God. Go on ahead and speak to God. First of all, you are asking for the spirit of the fear of the Lord. 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 The spirit of humility. 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 Meekness of heart. Meekness of heart. Meekness of heart. Meekness of heart. Father, we give you the praise. Mahoshada Galada. Let us set a fresh seed of Galada.
In Jesus' precious name.
Lift the hands where you are. I see the move of God like never before. Like your heart and the other hand on your head, if possible. And I ask, oh Lord, for the release of a fresh baptism of the fear of the Lord. A conscience that is alive, A conscience that is awake. A conscience that hates evil.
Father, I ask today for a baptism of a passion against evil.
A heart of humility
that is devoid of every spirit of pride and haughtiness.
I ask today that you will give us the grace to decrease in ourselves, that you might increase in us. I ask at this moment, Lord, for the heart of meekness, the heart of meekness, the heart of meekness, openness to learn, eagerness to learn, willingness to change, yieldedness to correction. Father, let it be released.
And with that release, let there be the release of the wisdom of God. The release of the spirit of wisdom. Everyone that is at a junction of decision, that needs to know what to do, let the wisdom of God be released right now. In the name of Jesus. Everyone facing a complicated situation, a complex challenge, that is looking for direction, looking for solution, looking for answers, I prophesy, I declare tonight that the wisdom of God will come true for you in the name of Jesus. The same way that Daniel received that wisdom in the night vision, that in the vision of the night, Jehovah God will come true for you. He 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 will come true with revelation. He will come true with direction. He will come through with clarity.
Before this week is out, may it be clear to you that God's wisdom has answered for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Adonai. You will not be stranded.
You will not be a laughing stock. Your life will not end as a mockery. Your life will not end in shame. In the name of Jesus,
you will have results to prove your faith in God, your confidence in God, that you have not waited on the Lord in vain. Those who wait on God cannot waste in life.
It will be clear in this season that you have not waited in vain. Everyone who came in here with an affliction in the ear body, I declare it is over right now. Every chain is broken in the name of Jesus.
Every devil that says you should not laugh, you should not smile, you should not rejoice, that devil is arrested right now.
In the name of Jesus.
I hear that your testimony is going to lead people to Christ. There are people who will see what God will do with you in this season. Do with your life. Do with your commitment to Him. Do with your change of action, change of direction. People who will see what God will do with your life, it will lead them to Christ. It will attract them to God. It will change their mind about God. In the name of Jesus. I hear the sound of celebration. Amen. I hear the sound of celebration. Amen. I hear the sound of celebration. Amen. Because the wisdom of God is bailing you out. The wisdom of God is changing your story. Amen. I hear that sound of celebration. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Let the sound of rejoicing fill this house. Give the Lord a praise. Help me shake three hands and tell them congratulations. I hear the sound of rejoicing in your tabernacle. A sound of celebration from your camp. While this celebration will be on,